Who is supreme? A new book by Gokul Chandra Das, released today. What's the answer? Who is supreme? Krishna. You all know. But many people have many ideas as to who is supreme. So this book establishes, on the basis of Shastra, that Krishna is supreme, systematically describes Krishna's opulences, his qualities, his abodes, and in every way how he is supreme, how the demigods are dependent on him, the demigods worship him, different kinds of avatars. So this is a very important book for preaching, especially in India or among Hindus everywhere. So I suggest that you could all, those devotees who are living in various parts of India, can take it back and distribute it. And it should be translated in various Indian languages also, so that you can see later. You could serialize it in Bhagavad Darshan and then print it as a book in Tamil, Gujarati. These are the two editions of Bhagavad Darshan which are being overseen here by Sri Giridhari Prabhu and Radhesh and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Between you two, you oversee the Gujarati. So, it's an important book. Important preaching. Also, today has been released Srila Prabhupada's lectures on the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, translated into Tamil. It means that there's one line of Srila Prabhupada speaking and then one line of translation by Krishnadas Prabhu. So this is all the lectures that we have, all the recordings that we have of Srila Prabhupada's lectures on Gita chapter 1. Is that right? With translation in Tamil. So this is also very important for our devotees especially. And you can distribute it to the public also. But especially as there are many devotees who don't know, they don't follow English. So it's good to have these lectures, especially for our devotees, to have that available. So you can also do that in Hindi and Gujarati. In Russian it was done many years ago. All Prabhupada's lectures. The only language it's ever been done in. So it's very important that devotees can hear what Srila Prabhupada says. Of course, it's somewhat removed by translation, but that's the best they're going to get. So all the Tamil-speaking devotees should take this. And this can also be taken to Dubai, Kuwait, for the labor camps. The devotees in the labor camps, they'll appreciate that. So this is very good. Maharaj was talking about the homages. These are the real homages. How we can serve Srila Prabhupada's mission by making realistic, substantial, I'm always using that word, positive contributions. So this is something which will remain. It's done now, and that will remain throughout, as long as there are devotees in this world, this will remain. This book, this recording, and gradually, presumably, you want to do all of Prabhupada's lectures, is it? It's a big project. And you'll also become completely expert preacher by doing that. I actually, I took training from Prabhupada in lecturing and preaching and how to speak with people by listening to his lectures and conversations. I listened to them with the specific listening. How does Prabhupada address this point? When people bring different points, what does Prabhupada say? And I read Prabhupada's books repeatedly with that specific aim of what is the point, and how does Prabhupada present it, what are the arguments, and how we can present this to others. So by listening, Srila Prabhupada said that if you simply read my books and repeat in your own words, you can become a very expert preacher. So I'm not saying I'm an expert preacher, but that's the process. So yeah, these are very solid contributions. Book distribution, Bhagavad Darshan, the both Gujarati and Tamil, or the monthly print runs are around 20,000, something like that. We got up to 20,000, and it doesn't seem to be increasing so quickly now, is it? We have to go on pushing the increase. We shouldn't rest at 20,000. We have to come up to 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, 10 lakhs. 10 lakhs that's a lot considering the population. But you can aim at 1 lakh. Let's go for 1 lakh and then we'll see where to go from there. People are appreciative. It's not an ordinary magazine. There's no dharma, artha, kama, moksha. There's no talk of sense gratification. Simply, what is the purpose of life? Krishna. And how to attain it. And, of course, it's not of this question could be answered in a Vedantic way, in the way that Mayavadis, they consider themselves the proprietors of Vedanta, so they take a very philosophical approach, so some people appreciate that. And bhakti, either properly done or misconstrued, is practically the main feature of Indian culture. Either, as I say, properly or misconstrued. Misconstrued means worship of demigods, worship of the mother and father. Of course, we're not saying that's wrong, but if you don't go beyond that, and understand that Krishna is the real mother and father, so that becomes a not proper understanding of bhakti. And then in the modern day we have all these bogus gurus, and Christianity, the Indian Christians, they have deities of Mary and dress her in a sari and offer agarbatti, which Christians in the West couldn't imagine such a thing. But it's the spirit of bhakti, either properly directed or not properly directed. So Bhagavad Darshan, it is bhakti without the frivolity or without the sentiment or whim. It is bhakti which, at least in India, many people still, they're naturally attracted to one. Guru Bhakti, we won't, in most parts of the world, actually at this kind of gathering we're having here where devotees are appreciating the Guru, many people in the Western world, they would be turned off by it. They'd think it's disgusting. You can't imagine how people would think You can hear one lecture of Srila Prabhupada in 1968 in Seattle, and at the end, someone objects that, "I don't see why you have to bow down like this. Why are they bowing down to you?" And Srila Prabhupada said that if you do not bow down now voluntarily, you will be forced to bow down by birth, death, old age and disease. But many people, they object to that. That's why some in the Western countries and Muslims, they object. You only bow down to Allah, not even to Muhammad. But then even within Islam, the Shias and the Sunnis hate them. That's why in Pakistan, that's one of the reasons why in Pakistan, the last few days, they're bombing and killing, and in Iraq, everywhere. Sunnis hate Shias because the Shias, they worship devotees or great saints. But in Sunni Islam, there are no saints. There's only La illa awa illa Allah. And there's also Muhammadan Rasulullah, but there's only one God. But in the Western countries, some gurus in our movement, they tell their disciples, in the airport or in public, when the guru comes, don't bow down. Because people will not like it. You can imagine what I say. I say, yeah, go ahead, bow down. Let them get used to it. Let them learn some culture. So I'm not against it. I say, I encourage that. And if anyone objects, we'll tell them, yeah. It's our culture. They're bowing down. As Srila Prabhupada, one of the parents of his disciples said, they're actually worshipping you. Prabhupada said, yes. I worship my guru. They worship their guru. It's a normal thing. It's a normal thing. But when people become overly proud, they don't want to bow down to anyone. Or in Islam, in some ways that idea is good, that we only recognize Allah, but it's also good to recognize, of course they have the idea Allah is not a person, but we recognize the Supreme is a person, and he's a very nice person, most respectable person, so we should bow down to him. He's also very nice. Last night we, in the drama, Madhura Dipater Akilam Madhuram. We used to sing that at all our yatras. What happened to that? We should start singing that. We should reintroduce that, right? Why did we stop that? I don't know. We should introduce that again. So Krishna is very sweet, very kind, very beautiful, very loving. So he also likes that his devotees be respected. So that is the culture. And wherever bhakti is strong, bona fide bhakti, then there will be worship of devotees also. Recently in Vellore, we had a public program. Some Sri Vaishnavas were there with their pundram. And some young boys were there also from the Vellore Institute of Technology. So they're coming from different sides of Indian culture. One is very traditional and the other are very modern. Of course, the boys were coming to our program, but they're from the modern background. So one boy asked me at the end of the program that, why do you worship Krishna as Supreme? There are so many other gods, Shiva, especially in Tamil Nadu, many will come up with Shiva as Supreme. So I explained, I went through point by point. And I said that, Shiva himself says, aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. That Shiva himself says that the worship of Vishnu is supreme. All the Sri Vaishnavas are looking happy. And then I said, tasmat parataram devita dhyanam samarchanam. But even better is the worship of the Vaishnavas. And they were the Sri Vaishnavas were just in bliss. They really loved that because that's their culture. And there's so many beautiful stories, especially the Tamil devotee, and you can teach the children in the Gurukul. The beautiful story of the Guru Bhakti in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. It's really tears should come to your eyes on hearing how Kuresh, Krimikanta, he got this king, he was a Shaiva, and he wanted to kill Ramanuja, but Kuresh went in his place, and he told him, now you have to worship Shiva, I'll take your eyes out. He said, he wouldn't worship Shiva. So he took his eyes out, he said, thank you, now I don't have to see you, sinful rascal. Now I'm purified by my eyes being removed. So such nishtha they had. So many stories there. Very beautiful how the worship of the Guru. And not just formal, but with a heart. I remember also this. There's so many things. If you spend a life traveling around and preaching and meeting people, and so many things we'll see, so many instructive things. And in India, you see there's still so much culture, so many things to be learned. I always think that, of course, the best thing that ever happened in my life was being admitted into the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And the second best thing was coming to India, because so many things I had to learn here. So this is actually not in India, but in Dubai about 20 years ago. Shortly after Shiv Vallabh was married, he might not even been initiated at that time, Shiv Kumar. So that was before ISKCON Dubai existed. ISKCON Dubai was your apartment. You moved out of that now. That was like that should have been preserved as a holy place. That's where ISKCON Dubai began. We used to have programs with four people, three people, like that. So I was very impressed that every morning Shiv Kumar, who's modern, educated, up-and-coming executive, and he's really gone up. He's really gone up a long way. He's the head of accounts for all of Emirates, is it? For all of the Emirates airline companies. So he's really gone up a long way. But he would come every morning, him and his wife, and offer obeisance to his mother and father. It's a completely normal thing for them to do. It's a very small thing for them. Not small thing in the sense that they didn't... It's not that they had to go through any big mental process. They just do it. Whereas in the Western countries, it's just not within the imagination that people could do such a thing to their parents. It's if you say that you should bow down before your parents, they couldn't even begin to understand why you should do that. It's not explainable. It's just so far out of their whole way of thinking. They can't even... You'd have to go to university and take an advanced course in anthropology to even begin to try to understand it. What in India people just do normally. And you could write a PhD on it or something like this. The psychology and this and that. But even then they couldn't understand it. They'd think it's some kind of unusual thing, that something in their genes left over from when they were monkeys or something. Well, monkeys don't bow down. That's the thing. They're monkeys and they don't bow down. That's why they can't understand it. So, I just sent out a posting on BVK Sangha. Srila Prabhupada said, if there's any philosophy in the world, it's in India. If. I said yesterday that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was here, he was shown around the Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple by Padmanabha Dasa, the king, who... Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to the king Gauriya Vaishnav Siddhanta in comparison to the Siddhantas of the Vaishnava schools of South India. That means especially Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya will be more prominent here, and Madhva Sampradaya, not very much in Kerala. Just if we go north, then it becomes... Just if we go north of Kerala, then we get Udupi. But I was lamenting that nowadays you'll hardly find anyone who's got any idea. They never even heard the word Siddhanta. They've heard the word Batman, but they haven't heard the... And batting average, they know these terms, but they don't know the word Siddhanta. So India's going down also. But Srila Prabhupada said, if there's any philosophy, it's here. So, we have to spread that around the world and keep it alive in India. It's very easy in India to become another Hindu organization. People in general are not much interested in philosophy. So it's easy just to fit in the mold that people think that we should be. We have nice temple worship, nice festivals, nice kirtan, finished. But no, we have to give them Bhagavad Darshan. We have to give them Prabhupada's books and explain it to them. Otherwise, we'll also become another Bhakti organization. There are so many Bhakti... Sai Baba... If you see what is listed as the Bhakti organizations, that will include Sai Baba, Asaram Baba. It's considered Bhakti. So that's what I was saying. Bhakti is the main strand in Indian culture, but it's mostly with misunderstanding. So we have to give Bhakti Siddhanta. Otherwise it will degenerate. If we tell people, you see, we're doing nice deity worship, we're looking after the cows, give some donation, people will give. They'll give money. And the organization will run on. And we can get people to chant and become vegetarians. But we have to give Bhakti Siddhanta. We have to give the knowledge by which people can understand why they should practice Bhakti. Why we have to surrender in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti means not some light sentiment, but it's heavy surrender to Krishna. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva. This Shukracharya, he protested to Bali after giving everything to Vishnu, everything. Murha vartishyate katam. How are you going to live, you big fool? You've got everything, you've conquered the whole universe. You want to give everything. What a stupid idea, giving everything to Vishnu. And how are you going to live? He was the Murha, Shukracharya. In Gita, Krishna says, Kavinam Ushana Kavihi. Shukra is also praised as a great personality. Krishna said, I am among the learned persons, I am represented by Shukracharya. But in this instance, he was protesting, why are you going to give everything to Vishnu? That's not a good idea. You can give something, not everything. But we are preaching, give everything. Savadhaman parityaja mame kam sharanam raja. Give everything. As we always used to hear, Krishna doesn't see how much you give, he sees how much you keep in your pocket.
What's behind your back.
Yeah. So, of course, we don't tell everyone you have to give everything immediately. And we encourage people to engage in Krishna's service. Still, people are pious. They like to give to temples, to devotees. But we shouldn't be satisfied with people simply giving money. We want that they should give their soul. Sarvart Atmapano Guru. I read that this morning. You should give to the Guru. Guru gives to Krishna. Guru is not an amasser of funds. Maharaj told me that whatever you give, I have to give. So, I can't keep it now. All my plans to amass huge amounts of money in a bank account, I can't do that because Maharaj told me not to. So, yeah, we have a process, alchemical process, of turning money into paper into stone. We convert paper into stone. You give me paper, money, and I give it to Gokul Chandra and Akinchan Krishna, and they turn it into stone. So whatever you give will turn into stone, into buildings. So, yeah, first thing is give money, then you have to give your very being. So the money gets turned into stone, and in those buildings we preach to others. People will come for darshan, for seeing, and we will give them darshan, the philosophy by which they can understand who you are seeing and why you should fully surrender to Him. So this is our program, simple program. We chant Hare Krishna. We study Srila Prabhupada's books. We distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. We preach what's in Prabhupada's books. There's no need to change anything, preach anything else. We preach what is in Prabhupada's books. At least in India, we should. In other countries, maybe. We can preach in a roundabout way, maybe. That may not be necessary also. But here in India, at least, we should preach straightforwardly. Bhagavad Gita, you're not the body. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is Supreme? Krishna is Supreme. Not everyone will accept it. Many people will. Most of you are from India. You're accepting. I think most of you You didn't know all these things before you came to ISKCON. Even you might have been from, even the people who are from pious families. Nowadays, pious family means they don't eat meat at home. That's a pious family, right? In Surat. The pious people, they don't eat meat at home. Still, many of them also, they don't eat meat outside. At least, they don't want to be seen. They don't want to get caught. So gradually, everything is going down. And even Vaishnava families, there are many Vaishnava families, but they don't know why they're Vaishnavas. It's just, well, my grandfather was a Vaishnava. My mother was a Vaishnava. So we're from a Vaishnava family. Like I was saying, this in the morning I said about when one devotee introduced this, he's a doctor, a gynecologist. He didn't see any dichotomy between being from a Vaishnava family and being an abortionist. It never struck him that there's anything wrong with it. It's just, yeah, we're Vaishnavas, and it's my job. I help young girls. Otherwise, how would they get married if they didn't have an abortion? 2, 3, 4. We're helping them. It's a good thing to do. We have to keep the population. I mean, they think, they're taught like that. And they don't say, they don't know. And the word for abortion in Hindi is garbhapat, which is actually, it's not the right word. It means a miscarriage. The actual word for abortion is bhrunhatya. It means killing the child in the womb. But they changed it. The word in Sanskrit for miscarriage, which means an accidental abortion, they use that. Just, they don't want to let people know that they're being sinful, because hatya means murder. Murder of the embryo. That is the Sanskrit word. So they don't know. Lokasya janato vidvangs chakre sattvata samhitam. How does that verse begin? Anartho pashamang sakshat bhakti yoga madhokshaji. Lokasya janato vidvangs chakre sattvata samhitam. People don't know. They don't even know that their life is a collection of anarthas. Their whole life is anartha. It has no meaning. And everything they do is just to collect just one wrong thing after another. They don't know. And they don't know how they can be released from this simply by bhakti yoga to Krishna, the transcendent Lord. They don't know. Therefore, Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam for the sake of the ignorant people. So what a great treasure we have. What a great... I appreciate all of you are giving dakshina. I don't want to undermine that. I appreciate. Please keep on giving. And if you have any left, you can, of course, you all know you're going to get attacked tomorrow. Well, politely attacked. You're going to ask people, devotees are kind of, they're going to come and ask for dakshina, guru dakshina. So I hope you're all prepared for that. So I appreciate. Please give Lakshmi, and that will be used in Krishna's service. I have to give one lecture upcoming about the value of money in Krishna's service. So that's very good. But actually, this book, this kind of dakshina, this is appreciated more. Not to undermine the giving of money. It is appreciated. It's very much appreciated. But this is more appreciated. And actually, in Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Dakshina Jnana Sandesham. Dakshina means to instruct in knowledge. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that the best dakshina or offering to the Guru is what you have received, the knowledge from him, you tell others, you share that with others. So Srila Prabhupada also said that it is not possible to pay back the debt that we what we receive from the spiritual master. We cannot repay that. But he wrote to his disciples, but if you want to, you should try to repay it. So he said that if you want to repay your debt or attempt to repay the debt, then you should preach vigorously like me. So please preach, and preaching means on the basis of Shastra. We should give this knowledge to others by distributing books, by distributing Bhagavad Darshan, by speaking the message formally and informally. Here in India, we can arrange programs. Even now, you can arrange programs in which many people will come. We have still very good weapon for or attraction in India. Weapon for preaching is the Western white-skinned devotees. It's still an attraction. And if they can speak in the local language, the message of Bhagavad Gita, that will be very effective. Not only them, the Indian devotees, they're preaching day and night, literally. They're having that effect. So, but I was just saying that because I was just thinking of how Achyutananda Swami here in South India, he used to give programs. This was before TV. Maybe TV was there, but only one program, Doordarshan, only one channel. And the reception was very poor, and most of the time there was no electricity anyway. So they didn't bother making the television programs very interesting anyway. And so many huge crowds would come to listen. And there was a time when organizing public programs in India, it wasn't very good because hardly anyone would come because they were just absorbed in watching TV. But nowadays, people still are absorbed in watching TV, but it's not such a big attraction as when everyone first had a TV. So if we have public programs, many people can come, and we have to follow up. So big programs, house programs, temple programs, speaking is also very important. Formally, informally, people come to programs and we have to follow up individually, speak to them. I regret I can't speak to all of you individually. I know many of you would like to speak to me. It's not possible at this big function. So we have big functions and we break up into smaller groups. So in this way, there's very good scope for preaching. Devotees coming from the West may be surprised how we have big functions like this. It's a regular thing. We'll go in a town with a population of maybe 200,000, which in Czech Republic would be a big town. Brno, what's the population of Brno? 300,000. So in India, that's a smallish town. It's the second biggest city in Czech Republic. Practically after that, there isn't hardly anything. So, I was just discussing with you the other day, you're talking about the big cities of Croatia, Dubrovnik, 80,000. In India, 80,000 is a village. So we'll go in a town like that and 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs, and have a public program, and maybe 500 people, 600 people will come. You can't expect that in Brno. But in India still, if it's actually, if we organize, we can have more coming also, if we do enough publicity. So there's very good scope here. In the West, it's quite a struggle. If anyone here in India thinks that they've become a great preacher, we should send them out to the, go out to the West, see what you can do there. Because here, if one is preaching and has some svrti, some life, then many people may gather around you and they'll think, this is my guru. Go to the West. Try there. It's not so easy, really, to get people to come, to get people to come to devotional service. Even the idea of having a guru, not only do they not have any idea, but they really don't like the idea. It takes a lot of preaching to get people to come to devotional service. So, Hare Krishna. Kirtan? Shall we have kirtan? Someone had asked me a question. I got a piece of paper. Someone from Baroda asked me. The question was there, what can we do to... Who is that? One elderly gentleman, somewhat older, from Baroda. What can we do to quickly change the situation, the moral situation with all these rapes going on? Actually, rapes were going on before, just it wasn't publicized so much. It's not that rapes just started. I think it became a big thing in the world press. Well, of course, the girl was brutally assaulted. But because 20 children had just got killed in a school in America, and so they wanted to make a big issue to forget that. Because America looks very bad, so they want to make India look bad instead. So they made a big fuss about this. Although 20 kids getting killed in a school in America is a lot worse than one girl getting killed in India, right? But they made a big thing in the world press. And then they completely silent about the killing in the school in America. So what to do about the bad moral situation? What can we quickly do? What advice can we give? Well, the advice is that people should become Krishna conscious. You can't have a society based on kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. You can't have a society based on demoniac principles and expect the people not to be demons. We're promoting demonism, and then when people act like demons, they said, oh, why are you acting like a demon? Well, they've been trained like that. They're trained in the school from the beginning, work hard to make yourself a success. And success means to get lots of money. That's the training. To be a demon. Aham mameti. I, me and mine. And the TV, the cinema shows all bad things. So how to change people? We have to tell people what is the actual goal of life. So it may not be very easy to change very quickly. Can be done. We have to begin with ourselves. This kind of preaching, that, well, you come to the temple and Krishna will bless you to get free of all the doshas in your chart so that you can better enjoy material life. This will indirectly encourage demonism because it doesn't address the real problem of our life, which is that we're not surrendered to Krishna. We're putting ourselves first. The idea that we will come to Krishna, Krishna will bless me so that I can be, well, not exactly like a demon, but almost like a demon. Krishna's job is to bless me so that I can enjoy material life. This kind of preaching, no one will ever become a pure devotee by such preaching. They'll never give up. With all this demoniac propaganda, they'll never give up their demoniac mentality. Then people will say, well, why worship Rama? Worship Ravana? Here in South India, in Tamil Nadu, they're saying that. What's the use of worshipping Rama? If you worship Rama, you have to be a vegetarian. Worship Ravana. Then you can eat flesh. Maybe they'll eat human beings too. You don't know. You see, if you want to enjoy life, why worship Rama? Rama's only got one wife, and Ravana, he's the original rapist. So better to worship Ravana? Not the original, it's going on since time immemorial. But he was expert. So better that will then better to worship Ravana. Unless we give a proper understanding that constitutionally we are all servants of Krishna. If we want to be, naturally we want to be happy, we cannot be happy unless we surrender to Krishna. Unless we give this understanding, people are not going to become Krishna conscious. We might promote nama parada by telling people, you chant Hare Krishna and you'll be materially happy. That will promote nama parada. That's why there's, I'm a small voice in the big world of ISKCON saying that we shouldn't have kirtan melas. We should have shravan kirtan melas, as Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada, he gave the understanding of Krishna consciousness by speaking. His daily program, Shravan Kirtan Mela. Every day, there should be Kirtan and then study of Shastra, of Prabhupada's books, of how we have to surrender to Krishna, how Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Otherwise, if we only have Kirtan, without Shravan, that won't be proper kirtan. And that will degenerate into who sings the nicest is the best kirtani. Not who is surrendered to Krishna, whoever sings the nicest. It doesn't matter. Are they chanting 16 rounds? Are they following four regulated principles? That becomes not considered. So Shravan kirtan. There's no proper kirtan without shravan. So these principles must go on side by side. Otherwise everything will deteriorate. As I've seen in Bangladesh, I got a good education in culture in India and Bangladesh. I also got a good education in how the culture can become deteriorated. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The culture may be there. When Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita, even Duryodhana had some culture. Just as he was dying, he said, I don't regret anything. I performed so many yajnas. He had some culture, some idea of some culture. At that time, in India, there were Brahmins, there were gurus, there were yajnas, there was Vedic culture everywhere. But Krishna said, Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. By the influence of time, yoga has become lost. It's become spoiled. What was spoiled? The culture was there, but the proper understanding wasn't. So I've seen in India also that best culture in Vaishnav culture in Bangladesh. Gauriya culture, but with misunderstandings. So, about Dakshina, there's one, I'm going to be telling this to the rest of my life. In one village last year in Bangladesh where I was received, it's very nice. All the people from all the surrounding villages, whatever they were doing that day, they stopped. And they came to the program and they welcomed me. And actually, I got down from the car too early because the kirtan party was waiting further ahead. So, but it was the road was getting rough. Road means it wasn't a road. It was just some grass track. So I got down. I thought it's more comfortable to walk than to go in the car. So we were just going, there were a few of us going along, and there was some Muslim woman coming in the other direction. And they also got, there's little kirtan, big kirtan was up ahead. So they saw, and they also, they were looking at each other, then they came toward me, and they both gave dakshina. They gave some money. They were all in their burqas and everything. But they also like to, so that culture is there. Even so many Muslims, they like that. In Bangladesh, in our programs, Muslims they'll all come. Not all, they'll come. They like to join in also. So, this, I realized actually, one major influence on the Bangladesh Muslim culture in recent times has been that Qazi Nazrul Islam, who was, well, by his name you can understand he's a Muslim, but he promoted that, why are we fighting different dharmas? He gave his children names. One of his sons, he gave the name Krishna Muhammad, so like that. So that has been very influential on the whole culture, so that even now we don't find very, very little fanatical Islam, and they in Bangladesh, and they appreciate also that our ISKCON is a genuine religious movement because we have principles. They appreciate that. They appreciate that we're not just some. They don't like the gurus going around filling up their bellies and filling up their pockets, but they don't like that, but they like, many of them, they're very appreciative that we have principles, we have philosophy, we're serious. And Srila Prabhupada said that also, that if we stick to our principles, even if people don't appreciate, gradually people will, we don't have to do any tricks. If we stick to our principles, gradually people will appreciate how pure these people are. That in the whole world around, everything's going to hell. Even the Vaishnavas, so-called, are eating meat. Even the Jains are eating meat. Some of them. But if we stick to our principles, these people, they won't eat meat. They won't even eat anything unless it's offered to Krishna. Properly cooked for Krishna's pleasure. If we stick to that, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Seems to be very difficult in the modern age. But if we stick to that, people will appreciate rising early in the morning, engaged, everyone is engaged, even householders. They have to chant minimum 16 rounds. They know what is Shastra. They can explain it. It's not simply some dogmatism. But every initiated devotee, ideally, especially those who are going to take Brahmin initiation, they should be able to explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness to everyone. So gradually people will appreciate. Don't make it cheap. Don't water it down. We have what no one else in the modern age has. Even the Vaishnava, even the Sri Vaishnavas are coming to the program. But they can't explain to the young boys why they should be Vaishnavas. They appreciate, but they don't know, they're not trained how to explain to others why you should. We are doing this, you should also do it. Our life is better. We want to do this. Why are you not eating meat, drinking, going to parties? Yeah, this is why. We'll explain. We like to do this. We've done all this. We have had all this. Now we want to be like this. You can explain to them. People will appreciate that. Why? Some people won't. Some people will criticize them. Why aren't you doing this? We're not living a life of meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, because we have something better. This is not actually very good life. You can tell people, we have something better. You have got. There's one anecdote I sometimes tell, which Purna Chandra Maharaj, who's passed away about 2 years ago, he told me. He was living in London as a Grihastha devotee, but full-time, both he and his wife, they didn't have children. They were full-time devotees serving in central London. The temple premises is very small, so Grihasthas would live outside. So they lived in an apartment block, he and his wife, before he took sannyas. So in the next apartment, there was a young woman living. This is London. He was living in London. So he would see every weekend the young woman, she would come back. When he was getting up for Mangalarti, the young woman would come back every Saturday, Sunday morning at that time with a different man each week. One time, she was going to work in the morning. He saw her, and he said that, "Oh, you're living a very, I can't remember what he said. Risky. You're living a very dynamic life, or very high rolling life." She said, "Yeah." He looked her in the eye and said, "Are you happy?" She burst into tears. With the realization that a powerful sadhu, devotee who's very strictly following so many years Krishna conscious, he looked her in the eye and said, Are you happy? And immediately what she'd never realized, she's completely miserable. So, if we're actually practicing Krishna consciousness, and taking it very seriously, and not making shortcuts. I don't like this shortcut business. This idea that somehow or other you don't practice very seriously. You have as much sense gratification as you can within the boundaries of Krishna consciousness. And have the best of both worlds. Someone pats you on the head and gives you a blessing or something like this. Shortcut Krishna consciousness. You won't get any shakti like this. This idea that later we'll be serious. Or you don't need to be serious, you just get a blessing. You won't get any shakti. But if you practice seriously, very serious about surrendering to Krishna. Of course, there are different levels also. We're not saying that householders have to live an extremely austere life. It may be they're forced to because they don't have any much income. But householders, they can live comfortably also. Can do, not saying you have to. But practice strictly and you will get potency. by which you can convince others to also be Krishna conscious. You may be, if you're, anyway, if you're coming from some background where you're fairly well-to-do and you're a householder, then all right, you be like that. You invite friends, give them prasadam. So that's also one level of preaching, that people come and they see, yes, you can live comfortably, but you also be Krishna conscious. We're not saying that everyone has to sleep on a bed of nails at night. You can live comfortably and chant Hare Krishna. But serious, be very serious about practicing. And then when we speak to others, that will be convincing. If we tell people that happiness means Krishna consciousness, the happiness of chanting Hare Krishna, that is not comparable to anything that is available in the material world. Today, you are all enjoying the happiness of kirtan, kirtana ananda. There are so many big famous people in India. The Ambanis, they're the richest, is it? Or Tatas, who knows? Who knows? Declared, undeclared, we don't know how rich they are. Maybe they even don't know. Ambanis and so many, Hindujas, rich, rich people. They cannot enjoy what you are in, what the happiness that you are having. And who are you? I mean, in terms of society, who? Just very ordinary people in terms of society. Your name is not going to come in the... If you say something, it's not going to come in the newspaper. Maybe if you go to some town and preach, it will, but... Or you're not considered very... Actually, you're the most important people because you're chanting Hare Krishna. But in terms of society, who cares for you? Some engineer in the... What's that? Steel Corporation? What's that? Bharat Steel Corp, in the Steel Corporation, something like that. Satyana Sringer is an engineer, government job, which means he's read the Bhagavatam twice through already at work. Also, this that Vamana Dev in Bharuch, I asked. I was telling you, he's got the database of so many people and organizing the Bhagavad Darshan database. How can he do so many things when he's an engineer in a corporation? It's government corporation. He's an officer, so he has all the people do Bhagavad Darshan work on the computer. Corruption. So we're not very big people. A few of us may be a little bit big. Ranga Prasad in Vellore comes from a rich family. It's well known in Vellore. But after all, what is Vellore? Probably most people in Chennai probably never even heard of it because the station is Katpadi. If you go through it says Katpadi. If it said Vellore, they would have heard it. Otherwise, they don't know. So we're not very big people. But the happiness that we are experiencing is more than any Aishwarya Rai Bachchan or whatever. Anything more than all these politicians, they want to be prime minister. We are so fortunate, the happiness we have. What is our happiness? You've come all the way here. Some of you traveling 2 days, 3 days. Some have come from Switzerland, Australia. Of course, those who come from overseas, they'll also be visiting different holy places. But what is the happiness? We're singing. We're not professional musicians. We don't know any, even in terms of kirtan, we don't know any fancy styles. It's just the same old tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes we have Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very simple. Simple tunes. Keep it simple. At least in the big pro, so everyone can join in. Otherwise, complex tunes and then everyone gets lost and they can't follow. But keep it simple. So, music, not professional style. And prasadam. Actually, the prasadam you won't get. You go to any restaurant here in town, you won't get. The only place you'll get comparable is Ananta Padmanabha Swami Temple. Otherwise, the restaurant, you can go to the best restaurant and spend 1,000 rupees, one plate. You won't get like this prasadam. Is that right? The only problem is that after the prasadam, we don't see the devotees for about 4 hours afterwards. Now they're just gradually coming. So very simple. We have some singing and some talking, some prasadam. Flowers, that's very nice. Rangoli, these are all very nice things. All very simple things. But Mr. Ambani number one and number two and their wives, for all their wealth and fame, they can't even get 1/10 millionth of the happiness that everyone here is experiencing. So we should tell people, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This is happy. You can tell people. This is actual happiness. There's no happiness in the material world. Nothing. Srila Prabhupada said, if there is any happiness, it's in Hawaii. Because the climate's very nice, the food is, fruits grow naturally. But even that's all messed up now. What's up? Skit. It's a skit. Okay. All right. We have nice dramas also. We have nice children also. So now there's going to be a skit, which means a short drama. Natika. Small drama, short drama. From children from Avanti Ashram. So, we're not very big people, don't earn much money, but you can all give me as much as you can, and it all adds up. We need lots of money, crores and crores of rupees. Yeah, we need many stones. Gokul Chandra is an expert in stones. He knows all about all the different stones. I don't. He just buys them, makes temples. So, Hare Krishna. Again, new book released, Who is Supreme? Very important book. Establishes Krishna is Supreme. So, please bring copies with you wherever you're going and distribute this important book. And you can announce from time to time. Maybe tomorrow morning when more devotees are here. You can announce also more. This should be distributed also. When devotees go on book distribution, many people, they like to take the audio version. So you can distribute this along with Bhagavad Gita. Now you're selling Tamil Bhagavad Gita, how much?
200.
So for 250 rupees, they can get this. Actually, you can with 200, you can probably give this also. Anyway, it's up to you. Yeah, distribute, give it out, give out the books, give prasadam, give the holy name. Giving, giving, giving. Materialists, they want, give me, give me, I want to get more and more. Our program, give, give, give. The more you give, the more you get. That's Krishna consciousness. I'm also telling you, give me, but I also, whatever you give me, the next day, it'll be back to my bank balance at the moment is 4,000 rupees. That's my total life savings. So, my bank account never goes over 50,000 because then the government taxes it. So, that's just for travel. And the rest is for temples, books, festivals, everything like that.